Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. It is something that we all, in many parts of the world, especially here in America, we take it for granted. It's a resource that we all seem to have when we need it, when we want it. It is at our fingertips, really. I'm speaking about water. Yeah, clean, fresh water. Water that will quench your thirst, water that will grant you good health, water. But you know, it's not the case for other parts of the world. And there are certain people that God has raised up to speak and to represent that cause. And some of those people exist in our local churches today. Dennis Hida leads the Clean Water Well Ministry of Windward Church of the Nazarene. He has been touched by the love of Christ, and that love which has so embraced him has enabled him to see a need and do something about a need that affects millions of people. And the thing is, it's people like Dennis who enable us to get a glimpse of other parts of the world and also ways in which we can partner with him and other organizations to bring fresh water, clean water, to those in need. And that's why, talking about living water, the living water of Christ, we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to bring Christ, the living water, to you. As much as there are needs for drinking water, there is a spiritual need for this water that Jesus says, speaking of himself, where you, when you drink of it, and as he says in the book of John, you'll never thirst again. Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And my friend, today, the living Christ calls you to himself. And so I ask, would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you put your trust, would you put your faith in him? That's our prayer. That's our hope. Dennis Hida is a computer programmer for Altres. He's married to Yvette. And they have two children, Samantha and Kayla. Dennis, welcome to our show.
Hi, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kaneohe.
What was it like? What part of Kaneohe? What was it like growing up there?
Just behind Castle High School. And I don't know. It's just, it was fun, you know. I think it was seemed like a safer time than now. And people didn't worry so much. And there weren't all these gadgets and computers. We went out and played and had fun, you know.
You could actually run for real. And not just run like the football player on the digital screen or the computer screen, right? Not digital. Even digital sounds like it's outdated.
Yeah.
Who influenced you most, Dennis, in your growing up years?
You know, I guess I'd have to say like my parents. You know, they kind of guided me on what to do and what not. I think back in the day, when we were brought up, it wasn't so much what the kids wanted to do. If their parents put you in baseball, you played baseball, you know. So I played baseball, basketball. I took Aikido. It's just, you know, what my parents wanted me to do, get active and whatnot.
Now, you're a tennis player too, right?
Yeah, that came from my dad, actually. Okay. He liked to play tennis a lot.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, so, you know, I grew up not knowing the Lord. And when I was in my early 40s, my mother-in-law was visiting us, and she asked if my wife and I thought we'd get into heaven. And we thought, you know, yeah, we're pretty good people. I think we'll, you know, we'll probably get into heaven. But, you know, she explained it in simple enough terms for me to understand that where God is, sin cannot exist. And all of us are sinners. And the only way to get to heaven was to accept Christ into your life. So the thought of, you know, my daughters, we're dropping off my daughters to church every Sunday and going to Costco and shop and whatnot. And, you know, I thought about someday my daughters going to heaven. And I thought, you know, I wanted to be there to greet them. I didn't want to not be in heaven with them. So, you know, with that, my wife and I shortly thereafter started going to church.
What was it? What was it about, you know, having grown up, that's one thing, grown up without a religious background? To come to that place, what were you going through things in life at that time? You know, sometimes people are going through a rough time and then they come to Christ. You hear that story a lot, and it does happen. But what was it for you?
You know, it's actually no. We lived a pretty okay life. You know, it really was the thought of heaven and my daughters that, for me, was the primary reason. But after going to church and learning more about, you know, what it means to be a Christian and whatnot, my biggest disappointment in life is that I didn't go sooner. For me, you know, my wife and I, we're not perfect. You know, we have our arguments and whatnot, but they've gotten a lot better. They've gotten, you know, it's a lot farther between arguments. And really, I can't even remember a serious argument in a long time. And I think it's just both of us individually growing in the Lord and trying to care for each other. And, you know, it's not always easy. It seemed like we would always treat our loved ones worse than, you know, like coworkers and tennis friends and whatnot. And, you know, it took a while to realize that and to actually put some work into it. It's not real easy, you know. At the end of the day, when you're all tired, you know,
Dennis, why do we do that? Why do we treat our family, those closest to us, sometimes we treat them the worst?
You know, I know for me, it's usually at the end of the day when you're very tired, you know, your defenses aren't very strong, and you know, your kids are tired too, and I think a lot of it is just that. You know, you ask your kids to do something or tell them to do your homework and they're just too tired to do that. And you know, I think my kids are good kids and they're not really testing us or purposely testing us, but they do get tired like all of us. And you know, just not, I guess maybe not having a, just not knowing a better way to handle situations, you know, rather than just yelling and getting mad. And, you know, for me, I'm still learning. I you know, I'd love to learn different strategies and whatnot. As far as just calming down, it doesn't always work, mm-hmm. you know. But like I said, my wife and I, we're still growing in our walk. But we love, you know, we love going to church and just learning more.
We talked about as I was opening the show, talked about water, clean water. How did you get involved in this ministry?
Well, it's a long, I can, well, in 2007, I guess, okay, so I started going to church in, I think, about 2005. And in 2007, I decided I wanted to try and read the Bible from, you know, front to back, because up until then, you know, you get bits and pieces and services and whatnot. So, and I'm a very poor reader, so I gave up a lot of things to try and read the Bible every day. And at the end of September, our youth pastor, Pastor Tim Cruz, who's now at the Kahului Naz, he gave a message about the rich man, and he gave examples about, you know, the typical lifestyle of people in the world and how we're in, like, I think the top 10% or so, like the average American is in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. Like if you have electricity, a refrigerator, a computer, then you know you might be in the top 5% of the world. For us, you know, that doesn't seem normal because it seems like everybody has these things. But the message hit me hard because what happened was sitting in service, I realized that as a programmer at a different company, on that day I qualified for a retention bonus where they were creating a new system and I knew the old system well. So if I stayed to that date, they would pay me this, you know, relatively large amount of money. And I had forgotten about it until sitting in the service, I realized it. And up until that point, my wife and I struggled a bit with money. A lot of it was my fault. You know, I collected baseball cards and spent some crazy amounts of money on cards. And but that day sitting in service, I really felt God wanted me to do something to help the poor. And the week before that, I had picked up a tennis magazine for the first time to read it that year. So that's like 9 months of not reading, mainly because I liked the tennis player on the cover. But in there, one article stood out like crazy. It was a picture with three African children kneeling beside a stream. And it was about an ex-tennis player who started a nonprofit called Global Water Foundation. And this all kind of came together in my head at church. And, you know, I thought God wanted me to do something about this.
So this is, it's a convergence point. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how it can all happen in a moment. Yeah. They all come together. And, you know, those moments are, shall I say, those moments can be rare. But when we're aware of the rarity of it, you know that you're coming upon a time that perhaps your life will change and will change in a positive way. Dennis Hita, you know, he's just getting started. There's a lot to share. I mean, this story takes us, and we'll go with him as he shares, to Burkina Faso. It talks about working with other churches, but it comes back to just creating the opportunity for people to have clean water. Dennis Hita is our guest today, sharing heart to heart with you. Stay with us, okay? Don't leave us now. We'll be right back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So let's
guests.
Say you have a passion, okay? It's a passion that you, I mean, hey, you know it's so because you devote so much of your time to it. Think about it before you go to sleep. You're thinking about it throughout the day. You think about it when you wake up. This passion. I don't know what it is, but it's your passion. It could be collecting things. It could be anything imaginable that really consumes you. But what about a moment when you begin to realize that there is something even bigger, greater, that overwhelms that passion? You begin to forget about the importance of what you used to invest so much of your time and even your resources in, because a greater passion has overtaken you. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Dennis Hida is in studio with us today. If you're tuning in right now, I remind you, you can get the program in its entirety for free. We've been talking about, well, passion, maybe even collecting. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. So collecting, Dennis, and passion, what do those words mean to you?
Well, Danny, like I was sharing with you, before that day where I heard that message, I struggled with collecting cards, baseball cards, football cards, collectible cards, to the point where, you know, I spent quite a bit of money, and I actually bought some cards without my wife knowing, and later she found out. And up until that day, I still collected, and I still tried to rationalize it. And
what happened when Yvette found out?
She wasn't exactly happy.
She knew you were a collector, right?
Yeah, it's just that some of the cards I bought were literally thousands of dollars. It felt more like an addiction than anything else. It's just once I wanted, and she knew this, when I wanted a card, I kept begging and begging until she finally would say okay. And sometimes, you know, she wouldn't know certain cards which I bought. But
what's the attraction of cards and collecting?
I think it's just the rarity for me, and the feeling, you know, I have something of value. Mm-hmm. I think like for me, I just drive a Leaf and I love my Leaf. But, you know, I see a lot of people with really nice cars. And I had some friends who used to collect, like a gal friend that used to collect handbags. And, you know, she would share with me how much money she spent on these things. And it blew my mind. But I understood, because when you wanted something so badly, you know, your mind would just justify the cost. Mm-hmm.
We're geniuses in justification when it comes to those things, aren't we?
Yeah.
So if it finds out, but now you're going through this change. Are you sitting in church?
Yeah.
You're getting a bonus that you realize you're gonna qualify for.
Yeah.
What went on in your heart?
Well, you know, what moved me was that, you know, we had struggled with our savings for such a long time. You know, we were early 40s, and up until that point, we never had a savings of like $20,000. And once I started collecting cards, we never had $10,000. It was normally like $6,000 savings. And, you know, when we had some bills, I think one time it went down to $2,000 with no other monies anywhere besides, like, you know, 401k, which nothing we could get quickly if we needed to pay a bill. And, you know, it was a concern.
So now when you talk about, you know, no very low savings,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, though, you're sitting in church, then you know you saw this picture in this tennis magazine of these boys with one of the tennis stars, and you start thinking about clean water.
Right.
How does that relate to collecting cards?
Well, I guess it really doesn't. But what happened was, you know, up until that time, I just couldn't stop collecting. And once I felt, you know, I really felt like this was God telling me, you know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to help people of the world, specifically with clean water. And it's funny because I didn't realize it till now, the way you put it, I did have this money now. I could have gotten these crazy expensive cards if I wanted, but that wasn't even in my mind. And I didn't even realize it till now. All I could think about was, you know, to find out more about the problem, find out who I can support, how I can support. Do they do wells or what else? You know, what other kind of things are done? And so for the next 3 or 4 months, I researched. You know, I found out at the time 1 out of every 6 people in the world didn't have access to clean water, that kids around the world would die of simple things like diarrhea because they didn't have medication. Just crazy facts about the problem with water. And that just consumed my thoughts so much. Quite frankly, collectible cards, I didn't even think about them for such a long time. And occasionally I think about it, but there isn't that temptation at all to buy a card, or there's no desire.
Now you went on, though, more than just being interested. You got involved.
Yeah. Well,
how'd you get involved?
Well, for a few years, I, you know, researched and I made donations to places like Charity Water and World Concern, World Vision, Food for the Poor. And, but in the beginning of 2009, I have a hard time knowing if God's really talking to me, but I, for whatever reason, I felt like doing more. You know, I tell people, I felt, I don't know if it was a God thing. I wasn't sure. I thought possibly God wanted me to do more. So I tried to do a fundraiser at the Willows, and I actually did. But it's funny because between the beginning of 2009 and the Willows fundraiser was in September, that same youth pastor, Tim, was actually leaving to become senior pastor at Maui, at Kahului Nazarene, and he approached me and he said he felt God wanted him to help me do a fundraiser. And that's how the first Winter Church of the Nazarene Clean Water Well fundraiser started. So in 2009, 10, and 11, we did an annual fundraiser. We raised somewhere between $2,500 to like $4,000 a year. And it was going, our first three fundraisers went to dig a well in Haiti. And the reason, you know, I was drawn to Haiti was, it actually was a year before the big earthquake. Because a year before it, Haiti, you know, is such a, it gets a lot of storms and whatnot. And the year before it actually got, I think it was 3 hurricanes and a tropical storm. So their country was pretty devastated. And at first I thought, you know, helping out with food or something. And I kind of wondered if God wanted me to shift away from water. But it's funny, again, in researching, I found something actually called the Haiti Water Project. And it was actually a Nazarene nonprofit. So that's how we got involved in Haiti. And then in 2011, I'm sure you know, there was a big famine in the Horn of Africa. And it went on for a while. And, you know, because I had supported all these multiple nonprofits, you get a ton of email. And after hearing the same thing over and over, you know, I thought maybe God wants to move our focus again to, you know, somewhere else, namely Africa. So I asked my pastor, Pastor Jerry Appleby, if he knew of somebody in Africa. And he put me in contact with somebody in Washington, D.C., who connected me to somebody in Africa, who connected me to somebody in West Africa. And that's where another set of kind of crazy coincidences assured me that, you know, God wanted us to move it there.
What kind of coincidences?
Well, okay, so
we call them coincidences, but we also
God
know
incidences.
That
God is
orchestrating things.
And right. So basically what happened was I got in contact with our Nazarene West African Nazarene Compassionate Ministries Director John Watton, and he told me that there's a need for clean water wells in Burkina Faso, which I had never heard of before, but I looked it up on a map and found where it was. And between that time and the next time I heard from him, there was the director of the first small nonprofit that I ever gave any money to, called Safe Water International. His name is Larry Siegel. He sends out emails maybe once every 6 months. And I thought it was pretty unique that when he emailed, he said that he was following his wife, as you know, his wife was traveling different areas of the world to teach, and she was being relocated to Accra, Ghana. So I looked it up on a map and I thought, wow, Burkina Faso and Accra, Ghana is really close. You know, maybe this is God's hand saying, you know, mm-hmm. this is where we're supposed to go. And right after that, John Watton emailed me again and saying, well, although there's a need in Burkina Faso, he's actually based in Accra, Ghana. And I thought, wow, that's a God thing, you know?
So, you know, the Lord is starting to put the pieces of this masterfully designed puzzle together, and you're in it. You're watching it. Yeah. Dennis Hita is talking about, hey, looking up someplace he never heard about. Look it up on a map. And at that point, maybe it was a glimmer of an idea, perhaps. Here is a guy from Hawaii, from Kaneohe, that has a heart for, you know, providing clean water. But would he end up there? And if he were to go, what would happen when he got there? How would it affect him? What would he see? How would his emotions react? Would he be moved? And would he be moved to a point where if he came back, it would ignite a fire, ignite a flame or flames in the hearts of others to also make a difference? Well, he'll share about that and more, and it'll touch us, you know, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, it really is the heart of people that, you know, could I ever experience that moment when I just know that God is leading me, God is directing me to a certain place to do something, and all the pieces start to fit together. That's the story of Dennis Hita when he talks about going to Western Africa, Burkina Faso, Accra, Ghana. But before our break, he was going into those details, and I thought, man, that's fabulous. During our break, he says, oh, Danny, there's more. I said, well, you got to share what else happened here at the Good Life Radio Show. Find out more about our program, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dennis, continue. What else happened?
Okay, so, you know, after these God incidences, I got all excited. I went home and, you know, at dinner, I told my wife and kids the story. And actually, we had two interns from Point Loma Nazarene University with us. And upon telling the story of this incredible coincidence and stuff, or God incidences, convergence and things, one of the girls, her eyes got big and she said, no way. And she ran upstairs and brought down her laptop and she said, okay, for her spring semester group project that, you know, her group was assigned to create a fake nonprofit for any country in Africa for any charity. So like orphans, malaria, hunger, AIDS, anything. And she showed me her project, and it was for clean water wells in the Accra, Ghana region. So at that point, you know, I just told my pastor, okay, we're going to start doing these fundraisers for Burkina Faso.
So you do the fundraisers, and you go.
Yes, I went in February of 2013.
What was it like? Describe your experience.
Like I was sharing with you, it's hard to describe, like, nothing. Like when you see pictures of the Philippines or India, there's a lot of trash around. But in Burkina Faso, I mean, in the main city, it was kind of chaotic. What struck me was you'd have about two or three lanes of traffic and you would have people walking, biking, moped,
selling
motorcycle,
stuff.
Donkey carts, cars, trucks, buses, and everybody shared the same road with seemingly no rules, except the bigger you were, the smaller things would get out of the way. So people were like the lowest on the chain, and the big trucks were, you know, you just get out of their way. And it was kind of hazy. When we finally got in, it was nighttime, and our district superintendent asked if I was hungry. So we said, okay, let's go eat dinner. There's no streetlights. And basically, I almost fell half a dozen times because there's rocks on the road. I couldn't see where I was going. And that was, you know, this is in the capital city.
What was your meal like?
Well, it was kind of like beef stew, sort of. You know, the rice was good, like just like rice here. But the stew tasted good, but there wasn't exactly much meat at all. It was bones, grizzle. The taste was fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you can't drink the water there. We always had to drink bottled water. But yeah, the food is definitely different. I mean, I had fried chicken there. And when you think of Kentucky Fried Chicken, if you took a big piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken and took off all that meat, I think the entire chicken that I ate in Burkina Faso was about half that amount of chicken. Mm. They had just gone through a famine the year before. So most of the livestock, like I saw cattle there where you just saw the ribs, and there were dogs there, but not very many, but they looked very gaunt and, you know, skinny and whatnot. So it's very different, very dirty. There's just, dirt was everywhere.
How about the water?
Well, like I said, the water that the people drank, like when we traveled, they actually sold water in these little baggies. Mm-hmm. And it looked kind of neat, but my district superintendent said, don't drink it. And they had like a local drink that I guess was almost like our guava nectar or something. And again, he said, don't drink it. So everything was bottled water. I actually used a tap water to brush my teeth. And later people told me, you really shouldn't have done that.
Or don't swish when you're taking a shower too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you have to even be careful with the bottled water. Be very careful that it is a bottle that is sealed. You hear that snap when you do open it. What was happening on the inside of you, Dennis, witnessing what you were seeing?
You know, it was interesting. I think my experience might be similar to other people where I wasn't broken in a sense that the people's spirits were great. You know, I expected people to be suffering and hurting, but the kids were just full of joy. You know, granted they were very dirty and tattered clothes and whatnot, but they're so nice. They're so polite, as well as were the adults. You know, I actually went to a place where, some non-Christian pastors came just to say hi. And what Brother Joseph, our district superintendent, shared with me was that just the fact that I would come all this way to meet them meant a lot to them. So, you know, in that sense, I really felt I went for a purpose. And I think, although I physically struggled because, it was 100 degrees and it was very tiring. There was no, basically on the bus rides, there was no bathrooms. The bathroom break was the bus would stop and people would just get out and relieve themselves. And to be honest, it's one of the things that worries me the most. I don't want to have to do that. And, you know, I think God was with me on my trip because I actually survived the bus rides. I am planning a trip back this year, which may be harder because now, you know, initially we funded 3 wells, but since then, last year we actually raised enough with the help of other churches to fund the digging of 10 more wells, and actually 3 wells in Mali. And this year we raised enough money to fund the digging of 8 more wells. So now there's 21 wells in Burkina Faso, and I'm in country, you know, a little longer. I'm in country 14 days, but I don't think I can cover that many wells. So the trips are going to be more numerous. It might be harder, so I'm a bit worried. Mm-hmm. But what struck me really was there wasn't any sadness, or, you know, they didn't feel sorry for themselves for what they didn't have, because I think they really didn't know what they didn't have, you know.
That's their reality. They're right. Just living. Right. They're living in their reality.
Yes. I mean, where our wells are, it's so far out in the bush that there's no electricity. Really, the compounds, I didn't see anything besides pots and pans. Their ovens were just handmade ovens.
So how
did
they get, they go out to the bush to go get the water and come back?
There's actually,
how far is that?
I think there's wells that are far away. Really, I didn't see any water source except on one bus ride. So I think water sources in general are just non-existent. People have to dig wells, but it's just that the areas where we dug them, there wasn't anything close.
Now you started when you, a few moments ago, you were talking about okay, the first time you did a fundraiser at Willow's, you got maybe $2,000 to $3,000. Mm-hmm. And then you did it for a few years. Then you went on a trip and you went to go see what right. this was there at Burkina Faso.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you start talking about 20 wells. You know, you got another 10 here and you're going to go back. Your trips are extending. What happened in the interim between the $2,000 to $3,000 that you're raising at your church,
yeah.
Church of Nazarene,
yeah.
to now? What's happening now? What took place?
Well, so in 2013, when I went to visit Burkina Faso, I guess when I came back and shared my experiences, and I had pictures now, and you know, I could show them pictures of the people that were helping, and everything changed. You know, the year prior, or a year or two before that, I had asked other pastors, hey, do you want to support this? This is what we're doing. And, you know, I understand a lot of churches are very busy. You know, they have their different outreaches and missional things that they do. But I guess when I came back with pictures, it kind of changed people's hearts. We had certain churches like Eva Beach Nazarene, which is a very small church, but they gave a large amount of money for the mm-hmm. amount of people that they have. The Bridge Church of Nazarene has been a supporter. Kahului Naz, where Pastor Tim is, they've supported a couple years and they've raised good amount of money. Wahiwa has supported us. So Hilo, Kailua, there's quite a few churches involved. But I think it's the story, you know, and just being able to see people that they're actually real. You know, I've met them, I've shaken their hands, and it's weird going to a country, you get to experience things that you don't think of. Like, I always assumed when you shake a baby's hands or a child's hands, it's always so soft. And only when you get old and, you know, when you work in the yard, it gets all rough and stuff. But
these little
children had hard hands, and that
calloused, yeah, it tough was just, skin.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that kind of hurt a bit. You know, I felt kind of bad that at such a young age, they had to, life was just tough. You know, at one well site, Brother Joseph took this girl on the side with me and Brother John, and she lifted up her dress to show her leg. And what happened was at a young age, she had been burned. And because they're so far away from any medical help, nothing really was done. And he told us that if she gets married and has kids, it's just going to be really, really painful. But that's just the life that they live. I mean, I literally didn't see any medical facilities anywhere.
That's why I'm grateful, Dennis Hita, that you come and you share and you open up through your stories. You give us a glimpse of a Burkina Faso. You give us a glimpse of other human beings. Human beings whom God loves, God knows, but they don't have what we have. And I think it brings to bear the responsibility that we have to, from a humanitarian standpoint, from a God-caring standpoint,
yes.
to share what we have. But it comes with awareness. We need people like you to help us see. Someone we can relate with who's gone and been there and done that and relates. When we come back, Dennis, I'd like to ask somewhat of a sensitive question about maybe some struggles you might have experienced in your own life. And Dennis, we'll share some when we come back. Okay, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. How they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You ever think about giving a gift? And when you give it, you think, man, this is really going to, I think it's going to mean something when I give it. And you do, but there's a certain twist to it. Dennis Hita has stories about certain twists of gifts and things that happen when he's in Burkina Faso. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Dennis is going to share that with us. And yeah, he's with us today, sharing heart to heart about his journey and how it's impacted others. And others are now coming along with him in bringing clean water to people. Here at thegoodlifehawaii.com, you can get this program in its entirety for free and find out more about our program and other resources that we have available for you. So, yeah, tell me a story about a gift that you gave when you went to Burkina Faso.
Okay, so like I was sharing with you, I guess it's like Hawaiian style. Usually when you go on a trip, you bring back things for friends, but I thought, okay, so I'm making new friends now, so I want to give something to them. And so I took over a bunch of pencils for the kids, thinking, you know, they can write stuff and whatnot. It's educational. It'll help. So I got in country and I bought little erasers and those old manual pencil sharpeners. Mm-hmm. I was all excited to give them to the kids. And when I got there, I didn't realize they don't have any paper. And actually, two of the three well sites didn't have an educational center. And the one that did had no desks. All they had was a bench. And the teacher would teach on a chalkboard. So really, I pretty much gave them a stick with an eraser on it. But the amazing thing, what I didn't share with you, was I heard stories shortly after leaving some areas that parents were so thankful for these little gifts and were so surprised. I guess people just don't get things there at all. So because of just a pencil and an eraser, parents would walk miles to the church area, to the well area where their kids were, to ask, who gave my kids these gifts? And that just blows my mind, because, you know, that would never happen here. I mean, you give somebody a pencil, they'd be like, oh, thanks, who needed that? But there, you know, they're just so appreciative for every little thing, because, again, they don't have much at all. They have the clothes on their back. I mean, I think this one area, I saw a table with what looked like some kind of corn or grain. I think that was their meals for I don't know how long. It might have been all they had until the rains came. I'm really not sure.
When you go through this and you see, as you share stories, you share pictures, and others are beginning to partner with you, come alongside with you, what value do you see in that, in terms of, you know, you're giving, you're going, what does it do in you? What would it do in someone who says, you know, why does Dennis Hita do that? What's in it for him?
Well, you know, for me, Danny, I mean, to be honest, I feel like so blessed. I think for a while I was searching, you know, what does God want me to do? And I think that's part of why I read the Bible and whatnot. But to have things happen to me like this, where in my mind it's very clear, this is what God wants me to do. It feels like, you know, the greatest gift anybody could give, you know, just to be really feel confident that what I'm doing is pleasing God. And it feels, what's a bit awkward is, you know, people say such nice things about me and what I'm doing, and really all I'm doing is what I think God wants me to do. So but I can see from the support I get, I mean, like at our church, there's a group of people every year, you know, they cook, they bake goods, they donate their time. Some people at my church gave a lot of money, and other churches. And I don't know. I think it's just a great feeling to know that to be a part of this, you know, by sacrificing your time and your money, that you're really impacting lives somewhere. I think it's neat that it's all the way around the world, mm-hmm. First of all, but it's also for people in such need that it's we can't sympathize, in a sense, we can't really understand it. We don't live a life like that. And it was almost like when I left, I felt guilty getting on the plane. You know, I was escaping to my normal American life, which is like luxury. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like most of my new friends would never, ever be able to experience just anything. I mean, everything I do, I go to a movie theater, I think about it. They'll never be able to watch a movie like this. You know, I buy a plate lunch. You know, they make a dollar a day. When I went out to eat in Burkina Faso, you know, our meals would cost maybe like $4. But if you make a dollar, you can't go out and eat really, because you'd be eating once every 3 days. You'd have to, you know, unless you have a really good job, a lot of the people in Burkina Faso just struggle with life, you know, and it really made me appreciate what we have, but also, you know, encouraged me to do what I can. But I think the people who help, like support in any kind of way, I'm pretty sure they're blessed also.
You have a sensitive heart, sensitive spirit. Yeah, there's a grace, I would call it a grace of obedience. As God leads you, you follow. And yeah, you begin to see things begin to fall into place as God leads you. To have a supple heart like that, sometimes it requires us to go through things that make us more sensitive, more attuned to what God is doing. Struggles. How has the Lord helped you through some difficult times?
Well, Danny, you know, there's been a couple things. Like recently my daughter went through a bit of a struggle. So I have two daughters, and when my oldest daughter went to college, my youngest took it really hard. And it was hard on the whole family, but it was really hard on her. And it was hard on me as a father to see what she was going through, and to really not be able to help in any kind of way. You know, out of respect for her, I don't want to share a whole lot, but it's one of those God moments when you realize God is the only one that can take care of my daughter. And even walking the walk that I've walked, it's situations like this. I've hit a couple things in my life where I realize it's God and God alone. There's nothing I can do. Mm. The struggles that my daughter went through, and, you know, it was tough. It was tough. I was in a emotionally in a very difficult spot, and that was a really, really tough time. And to be honest, even when I went to Burkina Faso the first time, not nearly the same kind of struggle, but it was such a foreign place. I mean, when I got off the airplane, it was so different. And I didn't realize how lonely I would be. I had never met the two people I'd be traveling with. And the only thing that I could hold on to, because my phone didn't work, you know, there was like no internet or anything. You know, sleeping by myself, where I'd actually just in my mind, I'd be talking to my wife, even though she's not there. And it was really a hard time. But the one thing, the crazy thing was, even the stars weren't the same, because we were in the Southern Hemisphere. It wasn't even the same stars I was looking up to, you know. But when I prayed, that was the only thing that was the same. When I pray here and when I pray in Africa, that was the only thing that felt the same, and it felt comforting. Because when I first got there, it was very, very, very lonely.
In the midst of loneliness, in the midst of travel, in the midst of looking up under different stars, alone, all alone, Dennis Hira is with God, and God is with him. The Lord Jesus himself is there with him, and he prays. And he prays to the same Lord that is with him in Hawaii, the same Lord that is with him there, the same Lord that inspires him to bring clean water to places in Western Africa, and also bring the opportunity to others to partner and link arms with him, as he does today with us. It's a reminder that the same Lord, wherever you are in your life, whether it be a difficult time or a difficult place, the Lord is with you. He loves you. Dennis, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Danny.
I hope, dear one, that you've been inspired by this heart-to-heart sharing of Dennis Hira. You know what? There's no better time than right now, as this man does, to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. And that's our prayer, our hope. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Dennis Hira. Until next time, along with my technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave